And so as an entrepreneur, how has having ADHD benefited you with your mindset and with your businesses?
So it has benefited me for a few different ways. Again, willing to take risks. So being an entrepreneur, you need to be a risk taker. And so that definitely is a benefit. And again, the ability to hyper focus. So when you own a business, it's like you have to get stuff done. And so if you're able to hyper focus on something for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and get it all done, I think that's a huge benefit for entrepreneurs. Being creative, thinking outside the box, you need that to be an entrepreneur. Like you need to be able to think outside the box and get ideas, different ideas, rather than just the norm. So that's a huge benefit being an entrepreneur. High energy, we have lots and lots of energy. And again, I think you need that to be an entrepreneur because we work all hours of the day, a lot of times. We don't shut off at 5 o'clock. And so having high energy really helps, as well as being highly intuitive. And those are all aspects of ADHD that I feel really benefit somebody that owns their own business.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within, with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my special guest today, Carrie Beveridge. All right. Good day, everybody. Hope you're having an awesome day. I'm excited for our special guest we have on today, my friend, Carrie Beveridge. She is a multifaceted person. She's been an entrepreneur mostly her whole life, starting with being a piano teacher, very passionate about that, and then has moved into being a fitness coach for many years. She's a life coach. She runs retreats. She's a very successful businesswoman. And she's also a mother and a grandma, which I know is a very big highlight for her in her life. And most recently, she is a published author. And she has written this book right here called Cut the Anchor, where it's about soaring to your highest potential by releasing the weight from your past. Wow, what a great thing to talk about and write about. I'm excited to have her on the call today. There's so many things we can discuss within her book. Yet what I would like to focus on is the limiting beliefs that we develop as we go through life, as well as living with different neurodiversities. She's grown up with Tourette's, ADHD, which she was just recently diagnosed with, TOCD, which is a form of OCD, lived through depression and with anxiety, and has learned really effective coping mechanisms for all of these things and how to continue to live life, love life, be a successful entrepreneur. And so we're mostly going to focus on the ADHD today because there's so many pieces of her book, which I highly recommend you go and read. And this person, Carrie, you're just so brave and courageous to tell your story the way you do with such truth and honesty. I know you're going to inspire so many people to love themselves and step into living their life to the fullest, like you said, in their high potentials. Carrie, if you can come on without further ado, and let's talk about ADHD to start. And my first question is just, what is ADHD? And what kind of ADHD do you live with?
Thank you so much for having me, Kelly. ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And so you could have the inattention or hyperactivity and impulsivity. And or the third one is all three. And so I have the impulsivity and hyperactivity one.
Okay. And so thanks for explaining that, because I hear ADHD all the time. And to be honest, I didn't know what it stood for. And to even know that there's a few different kinds that people live with. So I know that you were just recently diagnosed, yet your whole life you went through so many signs and symptoms of having ADHD and developed different limiting beliefs as you grew up. Can you chat about what those were? What were some limiting beliefs that arise within yourself? And how did it impact your belief in yourself?
Growing up, I felt really stupid. I couldn't read very well. I couldn't read and understand what I read. I'd have to read the same thing literally 10 times to even understand what I read. And I couldn't memorize things. Any class that had memorization, so biology, things like that, I just couldn't do. I was good at math and chemistry because those are concrete yes or no answers. And I had to cheat in grade 12 to pass my English and social because I just couldn't retain what I had studied. And so I just grew up feeling very stupid my whole life.
Oh my gosh. Which, you know what? I'm sure like how many kids out there or how many adults nowadays can relate to that, right? Like that feeling of, I don't think I was a smart kid. Yet at the end of the day, it could be that you're just dealing with one of these neurodiversities, right? And just were not diagnosed. And so how did you cope with that as a child?
I remember in high school, my mom put me in a speed reading course because we just thought maybe if I could learn how to read faster, I could retain it more, which it didn't work. But I think I started learning to do things without knowing I had something wrong with me, which it's not something wrong. It's just you learn different. But that's how I viewed it for a long time, is I just developed little coping skills of always taking notes. So I wrote notes and notes and notes. And then at school, I'd come home and I'd read the notes, because I just couldn't remember what the teacher had said. So to this day, I just take tons of notes and then I'll retype them or I'll reread them. And that way it gets into my brain easier. If I can, it's almost like a three-step process. And so that's what I would do.
And then, okay, so you would do that as you were a child, and this obviously carried through into your teenage years and into being a young adult. What were some of the thoughts that you would have about yourself as you lived your life, not knowing that you had the ADHD, yet how did it impact your life as you started to move through into young adulthood?
It was very difficult. So I also had anxiety. And now that I've pieced everything together, I would get anxiety in situations where I wasn't comfortable because I knew I couldn't figure out the answer, or I didn't know the answer right away. Or for example, when I was taking a couple certificate programs, anytime it would come to, we would do a group project and I was all about the work. I can hyper focus and get the work done. But if we had to pick who was going to talk about it in front of everyone, who was going to present it, I would go to the bathroom and pretend it was like I wasn't able to do it, because I would get so nervous. I'm also like that with technology. So if I'm going to teach a fitness class, teaching the class or subbing the class for someone else is not ever the problem. It's the technology, because I just can't figure things out like other people can. And so it was very difficult, and I would put myself down and think I was stupid, that I couldn't learn like everybody else. And yeah, it really affected me throughout my life, just thinking that I was stupid.
Yeah. Kiri, what are some other signs? What are some other signs or symptoms? The ones you've talked about, yet what else can come up? So if someone's listening and wanting to understand ADHD a little bit better, or they might have kids that are going through some of these signs or symptoms, what are some other aspects of ADHD or symptoms that people might have?
So I never thought I've had ADHD because I wasn't hyper all the time. I like to be active, but I wasn't hyper. But I've been impulsive my whole life. And I always thought the impulsive part of me was a fun part of me. And then when I got diagnosed, what I realized is, because there's the different types, I can hyper focus. So while writing my book, for example, I would start writing it at around 10 p.m. because I don't finish work till 9. And I would start writing at 10 p.m. And all of a sudden, I would look up at my big clock and it would be literally 4 or 5 in the morning. And I didn't even realize I had been sitting there for 6 to 7 hours without eating, without getting off the chair. So I can hyper focus. That's definitely a part of ADHD. All impulsivity as well is a huge thing. Today's Thursday. Say someone says, hey, on Monday, I'm going to go to Mexico. Do you want to come? I would absolutely be on that plane on Monday. So I'm very impulsive. Another example, my boys were in grade 6 or 7. I went to pick them up at school and I had a new vehicle. And they said, whose car is this? I said, it's mine. They said, when did you buy it? And I said, this morning. So I just impulsively decided I wanted a new vehicle or needed one, whatever, and went and bought one. So it can get into trouble too. A lot of people have the impulsive part and it's spending money. For me, it's not always that way, but it's not always the spending money, but it can get into trouble for sure. So those are a couple different things with ADHD that maybe people don't even realize. And the one thing that I have learned as well is more women are being diagnosed now between the ages of 40 and 50, like 40s and 50s, because back when in my generation, it was who's hyper when they're younger? It's boys. And so boys were being diagnosed right, left and center, but never girls. And so if a girl was acting impulsively or just being hyper, right away, she would get told, stop acting like a boy or sit down and behave like a girl. And they overlooked that we weren't acting up. We had ADHD. And so then it wasn't being diagnosed as a child. So now as an adult, women are getting diagnosed more and more.
I find that so interesting because I agree with you. If I just think of all the times I've heard of people who have ADHD or my friends talk about their kids, it usually is boys, even to this day. It's not women and little girls who get diagnosed with it as much, to my experience anyways. And I know that when we were talking previously, like you said, people a lot of times don't get diagnosed until they're in their adulthood, like yourself. And you were sharing all of the ways that it shows up for you. And I'm like, I have 8 out of 10 of those things. And so I find that really interesting. What has the impact been on you now that you've been diagnosed and you have knowledge and awareness of, oh my gosh, that's why I showed up that way in my life? What has that impact had for you now?
So that impact has been massive. And I don't use anything that I have as a crutch. I just use it as knowledge. And so for me, I'm super excited to dive in and learn more and more about it. And things like I interrupt people all the time and I never could figure out why am I interrupting? It's so rude, but I did it anyways. So then as I got older, I thought maybe I'm doing it because I have menopause. No, it has nothing to do with that. Meaning I'll forget if I don't say it right away. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with ADHD. So it's not that we think we're more important. It's just that we need to speak what we're thinking, like right away. Another one is that I learned is ADHDers process verbally. So if we have an issue or if we need to talk about something, it needs to be verbally. It's almost like verbal diarrhea. So we get it all out and then we're good to go. And the person that we just told our feelings to, they're all of a sudden, oh my God, that's a lot. And they then need to process it. We're good. And then right away, they're like, oh, are you okay? And then it's, yeah, we're great. Because that's how we process is verbally. So that is something that I learned. And again, the hyper focus, I never knew why I did it. Now I do. So I can use that to my advantage.
Absolutely.
What are some other things that I learned? I'm very creative, high energy. So those are all ADHD things. Very intuitive. That's another ADHD thing. Willing to take risks. I'm a risk taker and I didn't know why. And that's an ADHD thing. We love taking risks. We'll think outside the box too. That's another benefit of ADHD. Yeah.
I love that you say you don't use it as a crutch and that knowledge is power. And I think that there's so much truth in that, right? It's now that you've discovered some reasons why you show up and think and act and behave the way that you do, and you can put your finger on it, that there is power in that, right? And looking at it, what is the blessing of this? What are the benefits of knowing this? And what's a new story you could tell yourself about you? And so that would be a question I have, because you shared that you grew up thinking you weren't smart and telling yourself you weren't smart, which I'm sure impacted your life in so many ways. And so now that you know this about yourself, what has the self-talk been like, or how has it changed the story about yourself around that?
Yeah, that's a great question. It has totally changed everything for me. It's been a crazy ride for the last year and 4 months. And so just learning that I had ADHD has opened up so much for me. And I now know I'm not stupid at all. I just learn differently. And so then I make sure that I'm learning the way I need to. So for example, Zoom has been great for me because phone calls don't work so well. I need to see the person in order to understand what they're saying. And so that is something that I've learned over the last year, and it's been great. And especially because of COVID, now we mostly do, or a lot of times we do Zoom. So that's been a benefit for me. And so, yeah, I now know I am not stupid. I just learn differently. I'm actually quite smart, quite intuitive. And it's, yeah, I'm excited. I'm super excited to learn more about it and teach others about it, which is ultimately what I want to do, is to go into schools and to go into businesses and teach and educate people about it. Because we're not stupid. And I know a lot of ADHDers think they are, and we're not. We just, yeah, just totally learn different. But it's, I'm excited.
Yeah, I think that's so awesome. And you talked about you're creative, you're a risk taker, like all of these attributes that are positive and so many benefits as well. And so as an entrepreneur, how has having ADHD benefited you with your mindset and with your businesses?
So it has benefited me for a few different ways. Again, willing to take risks. So being an entrepreneur, you need to be a risk taker. And so that definitely is a benefit. And again, the ability to hyper focus. So when you own a business, it's like you have to get stuff done. And so if you're able to hyper focus on something for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and get it all done, I think that's a huge benefit for entrepreneurs. Being creative, thinking outside the box, you need that to be an entrepreneur. Like you need to be able to think outside the box and get ideas, different ideas, rather than just the norm. So that's huge benefit being an entrepreneur. High energy. We have lots and lots of energy. And again, I think you need that for to be an entrepreneur because we work all hours of the day, a lot of times. We don't shut off at 5 o'clock. And so having high energy really helps, as well as being highly intuitive. And those are all aspects of ADHD that I feel really benefit somebody that owns their own business.
Absolutely. All of those, definitely. And so what about the opposite? So what are some struggles or obstacles or hurdles you have to overcome living with ADHD as an entrepreneur? And then what do you put into place to support yourself with those things?
I am really into organization, and I know that is one thing that ADHDers struggle with. And without me knowing I had it, I had to come up with some strategies. A couple of things is I have to color code everything, because if you are ADHD and you see a whole bunch of words on a page, I'm also old school. I like to see it in a book. I don't put it on my phone. And I'm not sure if that's an ADHD thing, but I want to see it and I want to have everything color coded. So I know blue is when I'm teaching fitness. Pink is when I'm doing this. Yellow is when I'm doing this, because then I'm able to just focus on the colors and know what I'm doing that day, as opposed to a whole bunch of words, which just get lost in my brain. Another thing is, as an ADHDer, we don't like long emails. We need point form what needs to be done. So if I can work with people to just give me a point form email, that works much better for me. And so understanding myself and being able to ask for what I need has been huge. And my train of thought just left.
No, what was I explaining? We're talking about strategies, right? I'll rephrase it too as I'm speaking, because you're giving great examples. So people who struggle with ADHD, what are some strategies as an entrepreneur that you can put in place? And so far you've talked about organization, asking for what you need in forms of communication. Is there a few others that you can think of?
Yes, and I'm just laughing because I'm not sure if that's menopause or ADHD. Forgetting what you're talking about in the middle of it. But the advice I give is block out. This has really worked for me. Block out time. So if you have emails to do, block out an hour and get all or 2 hours or whatever you need, but block that time out. Put your phone away. If you're in an office, close your door. Whatever it is, focus on those 2 hours to get all your emails done.
or say it's going to be phone call day, block out a set of time and get all your phone calls done. Or if it's billing day, again, block your time out and get that stuff done. Because for ADHDers, we could go out of our office to go get something from the kitchen, and then we see that something else needs to be done, so we do that, and then that leads to something else, and you're all over the place. And before you know it, 3 hours have been completely wasted and you've done nothing. Blocking out the time and putting it in your calendar with alarms, I think, is hugely beneficial. Choose environments and locations that work, because we get distracted very, very butterfly. Burst. We get distracted very, very quickly. Get an environment where it, which is what I did as a child without knowing it, is go in an environment where there isn't anybody. There isn't anything to distract you. Shut your windows if it's outside or whatever's distracting you. That has helped hugely. And so going back to when I was a child, when I was studying, I'd have to have the room, and even now, I have to have the room silent. If I'm reading something, I can't have anybody talking or music or background noise. So I live alone and I work here at home, so it's good. But if you don't, get headphones. Go in a room where nobody can access you. Another thing is celebrate your differences. So celebrate that you think differently and that you're creative and you can hyper-focus. Celebrate those aspects of ADHD. And I just wanted also to say two more things. Read out loud. So if you're reading something, read it out loud, because you process it better as an ADHDer when you read it out loud. But the last thing I want to talk about too is I just did some research on this. Studies show, and there was actually a program on it last night, funny. Artificial colors and additives to food can increase your hyperactivity and aggression. So by eliminating some red dyes, which I have to do anyways, because my Tourette's get really bad if I have any red dyes or artificial sweeteners, my Tourette's get really bad. It's the same thing for ADHD. So focusing on nutrition can be really big too, which I'm just learning about.
Oh my gosh. Everything you just shared really is great advice for anyone who's listening, right? On how to set yourself up for success in achieving your goals and being intentional, or whether you're an entrepreneur or not. Everything you just shared is actually simply great advice, Carrie, to be quite honest. And okay, so question, what would you say to somebody who is questioning their capabilities and maybe wondering, God, something's got to be up with me? When would you tell someone, hey, maybe go get checked for ADHD?
As soon as you think you might have it. And even, if you get anything out of this program and you're thinking, oh, that sounds like me, I'd say go. And again, not so that you can use it as a crutch. It's so that you can soar. To me, it's just been a huge gift to learn that I had it. So I would say go. Sooner than later, it does take a long time to get assessed because it takes long to get into the psychiatrist. But I'd say go right away if you feel you have it. And again, it's not, because some people say, what difference does it make if I know I have it? To me, it's knowledge. Knowledge is powerful. So I would say go right away.
And it's getting rid of the stigma too, right? So how do you get assessed? You go to a psychiatrist? Like, what would somebody do?
Yes. Yeah, so first, you go to your family doctor and you say that you think you might have it, and they will then set up an appointment with a psychiatrist. Because to my knowledge, it's the only psychiatrist that can diagnose you. And then you just go in, they just ask you a bunch of questions. It just takes a while to get into it. It took me a year to get diagnosed. But they just ask you a bunch of questions and then send you on your way.
Then that was going to be my next question, just out of curiosity. And maybe it's different levels. Once they diagnose you, is it more now a mindset and strategies that you put in place to live with it, or do you get put on medication? What happens once you're diagnosed?
Yeah. So actually, I forgot about this. So you just brought it up. They did offer I guess it was a form of counseling. They did offer talking to someone and then they could give you strategies. I actually totally forgot about that. So I did see her twice. As far as medication, I thought, I'll give it a try. For me, this is just my opinion.
absolutely do not go on medication. But again, that's just my opinion. So I went on it. It was, for me, horrible. I lost so much weight. I was down to 99 pounds, I think, because you just don't feel like eating. You do not feel like eating. And anyone I've talked to that went on meds, they're going to say the same things as what I'm saying now. You lose your, and I know dosing matters. You got to get the right dose, but you just become flat. You're not the same person. Tired all the time. Lot of different side. I ended up with all the bad side effects. Heart palpitations, fainting, getting sick, throwing up bile. The list goes on and on. But, and then I know dosing matters and there's different kind of medication, but it just flattens you out. You are not the same person. And it's the weight loss is a big thing too.
Okay. So what's worked for you, really, if people need the medication and it works for them, wonderful. Yet for you, it's just been more making changes within your life such that you're set up to win on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I was on the medication for 3 or 4 months, I believe, and then I weaned off. Yeah. If it works for people, great. That's awesome. For me, it did not. So I just keep learning more about it, getting knowledge about it, and continuing my strategies and then getting more strategies as I go and I find new things that work for me.
Absolutely. And what would you say to the people who are in your life? How can somebody, your friends, your family, the people you work with, how can we support people who are living with ADHD on a daily basis? Because I would be honest, I would be ignorant to somebody who has it, how I can help them or set them up to win in a relationship if I was in a relationship with them in one of those capacities. So what can people do to support their friend or family member who has ADHD?
Number one, I would say I'll flip it around for just a second. The person that has it, I hope can be honest enough to explain it to the people in their life and just explain it to them. Maybe then they'll understand a little bit more. But as for the supportive people, read up on it, understand it a little bit better, and then be compassionate to, for example, if I'm interrupting people, I'm not saying let me interrupt all the time, but just be compassionate about it and be understanding about it and work with the person that has it and just maybe, I don't know, set up little code words or something to let the person know, oh, you just interrupted or something. I don't know. But just reading up on it and being compassionate, I think, is a really good tool for people that want to support and just be understanding and also talking about it. Because it's not like we brought it on for ourselves. There's nothing we did to get ADHD. Just talk about it, communicate about it, and learn together about the different aspects of it. And I think that would be very supportive.
That's awesome, Carrie. That's why I wanted to have you on the podcast, right? Because I was saying this is such a great topic to talk about just for awareness, right? Awareness of how many people are living with ADHD and it's impacting their life, and we can be more compassionate and understanding and graceful and learn about it ourselves. And you talked about talking about it, and I want to use that to segue into talking about our past and having the courage to release what we've gone through. And in your book, you talk pretty much about everything that you went through from childhood up until now. And just once again, congrats on that, because that takes bravery. Yet, can you chat about the impact that it has on one's life to not hold in secrets anymore, to not hold in the stuff that we feel shame around or that we're blaming ourselves for from the past, and letting that go, what that does to propel us towards our future?
Yes, I'm very excited about this topic, because keeping the big secret that I kept for so long, it was 35 years. It was killing me without me knowing it. It was interfering with every relationship I had, family, friends, loved ones, any relationship I had. And I didn't realize it was affecting me so deeply. And then I ended up really sick. And I do believe that had part to do with it. And we all have made mistakes, and our past mistakes does not define us. It's how we move through them that matter. And I'm not saying that if you've made a mistake or that you did something really bad in the past that we just erase it, but learn from it
and grow from it. And so me releasing everything has been massive. I always led my life as if I was a perfectionist, as if I was perfect. And because I do what I do with fitness coaching, I never wanted anybody to know that I was anorexic for 17 years, that I was had postpartum depression that was undiagnosed, turned into depression for 17 years. There were infidelities. The list goes on. And I never wanted anyone to know because I wanted everyone to know, to think that I was perfect. And that is exhausting. Living a life where you are trying to be perfect every day is exhausting. And it gives the opposite of what I thought. It gives, no one wants to be around someone that's always so perfect. As opposed, I thought it was people were looking up to me. No, I was pushing people away because who wants to be around somebody that's 100% perfect all the time? Nobody does because everybody makes mistakes and nobody's perfect. And so It has been life-changing for me to take the weight off my shoulders and stop blaming myself, stop shaming myself, stop living a life of massive guilt. It's been amazing. I know it's really, really hard. And I never thought I would even tell anybody about my anorexia, my depression. I try to hide my Tourette's. People know about my OCD and stuff, but all the other stuff I tried to hide. And now that it's funny because here I lived for 50 years in secrets. And now I'm sharing it to the world is a really, really huge. But I just want people to know that by releasing, and you don't have to say it to the world like I am, you could just write it out and then burn it. You can shout it out when you're all by yourself, but just get it out. Whether you write it, whether you shout it, whether you write a book, whether you go on stage and speak it, just get it out of you because it's toxic. Secrets, blame, shame, guilt, they can kill a person because it almost killed me.
Wow. Yeah. It's so true. And I believe it impacts so many other areas of our life indirectly that we don't realize when you're carrying that around. Now that you've had the courage to share all of your truths, how has it impacted the areas of your life for the better? For example, your health, your relationships, your business. Right. Sometimes we think, oh, our business results only come from us putting in the effort in our business. No, it also comes from you not addressing A, B, and C in your personal life because you take you everywhere. Right. So how has you releasing all of this impacted the other areas of your life positively?
Very much. Number one, I'm way closer with my dad and my mom by coming out with how I felt growing up and all of that. So we have not reconnected, we were always connected, but my dad and I are very close now. And then again, with female friendships, I think it's gotten better because now I'm on their level as opposed to them thinking I'm always so much better than I am. And so that has helped. And with business, especially with coaching, people are seeing me as a human being. And now it's, oh, she messed up too. So she's on my level. It's brought me to everybody's level. And so with business, like with my coaching, I think it's just gotten way better because people feel that they can relate to me now because I'm on the same level. And so that has been huge, huge, huge.
Yeah. And you're able to coach people from a space of I've been there. And I've gotten through it. I'm on the other side, right? Still working on myself and growing and learning and discovering, yet I had the courage to move through it. And now you can reach your hand down and help other people have the courage to do the same thing, which I know is a big goal of yours.
Yes, absolutely. Because just being able to share my story to everybody and not be embarrassed about it and not be worrying about what everybody's going to think has made me more human. And I think that's the one really important thing is we all think most of us do this and I don't know why, but when something happens to us, we think we're the only one. And I don't know why we think we're the only one when there's how many billion people in the world, but we think that we're the only one going through it. The more we can be
authentic and purpose driven with the words we speak and just sharing our truth, the more people realize they are not alone. And those are the comments that I'm getting from my book, is how people are coming forward and saying, thank you so much for writing the book, because now I know I'm not alone on all the different aspects that, excuse me, that I write in the book. It's just giving people hope. It's giving people realization they are not alone. And that's my message. Just because you did something, I don't like the word bad, but bad or wrong or something in the past, does not define you. That is my hugest message here. It does not define you, nor just having neurodiversities like ADHD. It doesn't define it. It just gives you something to move forward with. It doesn't give you something to push us down. So that's my big message, is you're not alone. Everybody makes mistakes. And the more you can come out with it and be more vulnerable with it, the more human you become. So that's my huge message.
That's a great message, Carrie. I love that message. And I just have a few more questions before we wrap up here. And I want to use that to lead into this question then. So because you're talking about how your past doesn't define who you are now, what would you say is your version of success in your life for yourself now and moving forward?
My version of success is being vulnerable. That to me is hugely successful for me, is moving forward, being authentic, being truthful, being truly myself, and loving myself completely, because I've spent the last 50 years verging on hating myself. So loving myself is very successful. And then doing what I love to do, which is writing and coaching, is successful. And having my family in my life, which I currently have 2 out of my 3 children in my life. And that's, having family is huge. Yeah, that's the success for me.
I love that. I love that, Carrie. And what would you say to somebody who is, they're an entrepreneur, they're in business, they're in action, they're working on their goals, yet they're struggling to elevate to the next level of success and inner fulfillment? What would be 2 or 3 tips or pieces of guidance that you would give that person?
Number one, I would say celebrate your wins, especially the small ones, and celebrate them every day. Write out your wins for the day, because I think we get so bogged down with what we didn't get done or what we didn't do right that we live in, that's more living in a victim or negative place, as opposed to all the wins, the small wins. Like, I got out of bed today, that's a win. I shoveled the snow, or I shoveled half the snow, that's a win. Whatever your wins are, celebrate the wins. Stay consistent and never give up, even through the failures, because that's where you grow. You grow when you're failing. You don't grow when you're, I'm doing everything right. So stay consistent. Even on the days you don't want to be consistent, just get up and do it anyways. No matter what it takes you to do, whether it's write it out on pieces of paper and be able to tick it off, because ADHDers love to tick things off, but just stay consistent. And the last thing is invest in continuous learning development. So workshops, courses, webinars, books, conferences, seminar, anything that you can continue to grow and learn about yourself, about your business, about others, just continually be on that treadmill of learning. Those would be my 3 pieces of advice.
That's great advice, Carrie. And if there was one more thing you wanted to share with the listeners regarding our call today, it could be about anything. Is there any last thoughts that you have?
I would say, dig deep, find out what it is that's holding you back, and work on releasing it. It's not easy, but work on releasing it, because you can soar when you have nothing pulling and dragging you down, like guilt, shame, blame, and regrets, because they don't serve you. So cut those ties and live to your fullest potential, because you're great just as you are. That would be my ending advice.
Awesome. That's great ending advice on that note, Carrie. So on that note, where can people find you? So first of all, where can they find your book? Cut the anchor. I'm just going to show it again. So where can they find your book? And then where can they find you for coaching or on social media, etc.?
So everything actually can be found on my website. So it's fit2motivate.net. And so that's my website. And my book is on there. Just go to the tab, Cut the Anchor. And then all my classes are on there. My upcoming retreat, which is called Guided by Gut, super excited about that, is in May. And so everything can be found on my website. And then there's a place at the end. If you just want to email me and chat and ask some questions, you can find me on the website at the bottom as well. I'm on social media, on Instagram and Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok. Yeah.
Awesome. You're even on TikTok. That's awesome. I'm not on TikTok yet. Well, cool. Carrie, what I'll do is I'll put all that information in the show notes so people can find your website. They can find your links, your social media. Everybody go out there. And if you've resonated with today, get Carrie's book, Cut the Anchor. It's a really inspiring book of bravery and exactly what she talked about, willing to be vocal and vulnerable and share about your past, and in a way of learning from the past to move and grow forward and to create a fulfilling life. And Carrie, you're doing it. You're walking the talk. And so just way to go. Thanks for being inspiring. Grateful that we have become friends. I learn from you every single day and just really appreciate you being here and shedding the light on limiting beliefs and ADHD and how to use it as your superpower. I love it.
Thank you so much for having me, Kelly. It was great.
All right. We'll talk later. Hey, everyone. Just want to say thanks for listening to this episode with Carrie Barrage. If you normally watch it, I just want to apologize as we did not have video with this one. There was some technical difficulties. And so we just rolled with the punches. That's what we do. And so I just want to thank Carrie for being here and just being honest and vulnerable to chat about her awareness of being someone with ADHD. I hope that helps those of you who can relate as entrepreneurs or just in life in general. Also, if you're somebody who's ever struggled with an eating disorder or depression, get Carrie's book. She really is honest and vulnerable and shares about her story amongst a lot of other things. And she's gone through a journey to be to where she is now. And now she coaches people to be their highest potential of themselves. She's got some real cool retreats coming up this summer. So I encourage you to check out her website, check out her book, and it can support you with your journey and where you're at. And so just once again, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate y'all. And just have a great day. And with love, greatness, and success, it's your host, Kelly Barrage.